And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, a very good morning to you. It's 3 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 13th of March, 2024. How are you all keeping out there? I do hope you're very well indeed. If you're listening to us across the northwest of Ireland on air or around the world online, it's fantastic to have you on board. And we want you taking part in the show as well. Our lines are open for you right now for you to comment as the morning progresses, or indeed to raise your own comments, send in your requests, whatever you want to do. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. You can also send your WhatsApp voice notes to that number if that suits you. You can give us a call on 074 91 25000. Caroline taking your calls as always. And also, you can email comments at highlandradio.com. If you choose to watch the show across our social media, please feel free to say hello. Tell us where you're watching from. We are on the Twitter stroke. Well, it's not Twitter stroke. It's X, formerly Twitter app, of course. Highland Radio. We're on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. And you can watch us on YouTube on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, if that suits you. And across your mobile devices on all those apps, including Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. And if that were not enough, if you go onto our website, highlandradio.com, there's a little watch live button and you click that and you're in as well. So anyway, good to have you on board wherever or however you're consuming us today. Lots coming up on the show, including a little later on, we're going to be speaking to Senator Lisa Chambers. Of course, she's found herself thrust into the centre of the referendum's debate. We'll talk about that as we go through the newspapers, because actually I'm really quite interested to poll your points of view on that and on her position, and also the calls from within politics for her to step down, which to me, and as I say, I'll talk about in a little moment, and this is regardless of whichever party or none someone's a member of. Again, I'm getting the sense that politicians calling for her to resign is another example, maybe, of politicians being out of touch with the electorate. But anyway, listen, I'll propose that to you a little later on. Okay, well, Miss Chambers has now cancelled, has she? She's not available. Anyway, we're still going to talk about it. All right, okay, Finn Valley Voice this morning. We'll go through the newspapers. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. Live radio is very fluid. 1 minute it's on, then it's off. Ballybuffet's newest destination for live music and cocktails, Gallon's Bar, Navaney Street, has formerly, the former Heaney's U Drop In, is officially open. Boasting an impressive array of amenities, the bar offers, as it says in the newspaper, an unparalleled entertainment experience. Okay. On to the Irish Daily Mail, and we'll start with the front page story here. Pressure now on Lisa Chambers to resign over vote. Fianna Fáil Senator Lisa Chambers advocated to take the word mother out of the constitution last year, despite saying this week that she could never vote to do so. In an interview in RTE's Drive Time programme in March 2023 about the proposed changes, Ms Chambers said it was time for the constitution to reflect the modern Ireland, and that she did not believe the inclusion of mother was necessary. Several Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael senators told the Irish Daily Mail privately last night they believed Miss Chambers should resign as leader of the Shannon. Now, I don't know about you, but throughout the course of the referendum, from when they were first announced, first got sight of the Citizens' Assembly wording, I had a view at what way I might go. And then as the campaign went on, my position changed, and then it hardened into which way I would vote. Is a politician's not allowed to do that as well? And I'm not on about Senator Chambers or whoever it might be, but our politicians, because I put it to, and I put it to Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin yesterday, that you know, Sinn Féin obviously initially advocated a yes, yes. Then they started to have concerns about it. Well, come out and say no, no. Then at that point. That's effectively in saying they got it wrong, they got the mood of the people wrong. That's what they're saying. And yet now we have Senator Lisa Chambers, who's not part of a cult, she's part of Fianna Fáil. She's saying initially she said yes, yes. Initially she thought the word mother should be taken out of the constitution. A couple of weeks ago she did campaign for a yes, yes, but now she's advocating a no, no. What I'm interested in your view, do you respect the senator more for that and being honest and coming out and speaking publicly about it and admitting that her position had changed? Or do you think she should go? Because the sense is now that if you're a member of a party and you sort of speak outside, you know, what the party is saying, then that's cause enough for you to be sacked from your position. So what do you think? Should she... do you think the treatment of Lisa Chambers or anyone else, actually, who's now advocating a no-no from whichever party or none they're part of, not advocating but suggesting that they voted no-no, do you think... Do you have more respect for Lisa Chambers because of the stance she's taken? Or do you agree with senators, elected politicians and such, that she now, her position is somewhat untenable? And if we could park our any political allegiances out there, it would be, I'd be interested. But she canvassed for a yes, yes a couple of weeks ago. Then she said she read up on it, did a bit of research, I'm paraphrasing it here, and changed her mind to vote no, no. What do you think? Do you respect her more for being honest now, or do you think that her position is untenable, as some seemingly do, because of her shift in position? As I say, I'd be very interested to sort of gauge the mood of the great Northwest public and beyond to see what you guys think out there. The Irish Times this morning, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said he will ask US President Joe Biden to follow the lead of past President Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and become involved in the push for peace in Gaza when he meets him later this week in the White House. Speaking in Boston during the second day of his trip to the US, Mr. Varadkar said he would have been very keen to push the case for a ceasefire when he meets the president for the traditional Shamrock Bowl ceremony in the Oval Room on Sunday. More importantly, I'll ask America to get involved once again in the drive for peace. It happened before with President Carter. It happened before with President Clinton. I think hopefully President Biden can take the lead on this. Now, I'm going to ask you another question because I'm going to... And it's really actually to sort out a little bit of confusion I have in my mind, and I mean this in earnest. What is happening, and we've discussed it extensively on this programme. There's absolutely no doubt that it is horrendous what is happening in Gaza. And I think particularly, what is horrendous is the slaughter of innocent children and women and men for that matter. And I think, you know, Ireland, whilst some might feel we've not gone far enough, and when I say we, I mean the leaders of the country, those elected or those appointed after the election, certainly we are one of the most vocal countries opposing what's happening in Palestine. What I don't understand is, and maybe you might be able to explain this to me, for a long time on this programme, listeners have been saying that we should be using our neutral voice to actually also campaign and lobby for a peaceful solution, the end of the war in the Ukraine. Why would, and as I say, pardon my ignorance, but why would the likes of Leo Varadkar not go and meet people with influence like, you know, China, Turkey and others, or even America for that matter, and implore those leaders also to try and find a peaceful outcome to the war in Ukraine? I understand that Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is using his platform and that meeting to campaign for an end to the atrocity in the Middle East. I think we could all get on board with that. Too little, too late, some might say. But where is the same language in relation to what's happening in Ukraine? I don't believe that obviously it's not having the same devastating impact on the population, but still hundreds of thousands of primarily young men have died and many more will die. Why? And again, I'm asking this from a position of ignorance. Why are we not using our voice or the same type of language to try and resolve the situation over there? Not to say back down to Russia or not to say, you know, but actually just say, lads, lassies, get around the table and sort this out. We're not calling for that, but we are, as it relates, and I'm going to say we, you know what I mean by that, yet we are in the Middle East. And I haven't seen that addressed publicly as to why that is, but I know the good listeners of Highland Radio will educate me, please, if you can, on 086 60 25,000. The Independent tells us that the HSE suffered an IT glitch that weakened security around the vaccination details of more than 1 million people, the agency has admitted. The organisation misconfigured a COVID-related database in December of 21, a spokesperson said, opening the details of more than 1 million people to potential exploitation. In a statement, the health body said no personal data was accessed by hackers or malicious parties. However, it did not report the issue to the Data Protection Commissioner, which was made aware of the data lapse this week by the Irish Independent and is now examining the issue. Right, they didn't notify the Data Protection Commissioner. Remarkable. On to the Irish Daily Star now, and two-thirds of councillors revealed they have suffered damage to their property, arson, racial abuse and threats of death and physical and sexual violence. Ireland's 929 councillors were asked to detail the shocking catalogue of intimidation and harassment between 2021 and 2023. 64% of the 226 respondents revealed they have been a victim of threats, harassment and intimidation over the past 2 years. Of these, 38% encountered threats on social media. Almost 33% faced face-to-face encounters, including physical attacks and racial abuse. A breakdown shows that almost 36% of threats made were of violence towards councillors, some 17% of threats related to damage to property, and over 5% were threats of violence towards a councillor's family, and almost 5% were death threats. Two-thirds have received threats, intimidation or abuse over those 2 years, 21 to 23. A lot of you out there would have been fans of Paul O'Grady. He passed away, but details of his estate have been revealed today. Paul O'Grady left €585,000 for Battersea Dogs and Cats Home in his €17.5 million will. I didn't realise he was really that quite successful. The sanctuary featured in his ITV series For the Love of Dogs. Paul, 67, who died of cardiac arrhythmia last March, left €907,000 in total to good causes, including €58,500 each to elephant and orangutan charities in India and Borneo out of his €17.5 million that he had accrued through his career. And finally, good news if you want to stay, want to be positive for your health, but some of the targets are a little bit too high. Apparently, exercising 2.5 hours a week for health is good for you. Exercising for just 2 hours and 30 minutes spread across the week will improve your health. Boffins, as they're described here, have said most adults in Ireland spend at least 5 hours a day being sedentary. That's just sitting doing nothing, sitting at a desk, driving or watching TV. Professor Breda Smith, Chief Medical Officer at the Department of Health, said even relatively small increases in moderate physical activity can contribute to improved health and a quality of life. And the reason I read that is because sometimes we think, oh, what's the point? I can't do what they say I need to do, so I'll just sit here and it's not worth even trying. Well, it is, because even just a relatively small amount of exercise across the week can improve your health. And who's to say it couldn't be a foundation for bigger and better things? Right, European Movement Ireland has launched the Can Vote, Will Vote campaign to encourage Irish people to vote in the upcoming European Parliament elections. The elections will take place across the EU between the 6th and 9th of June this year. MEP candidates elected to the European Parliament will shape and influence the direction of the European Union for the next 5 years. Noel O'Connell is CEO of the European Movement Ireland. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tell us a little bit about the European Movement Ireland. I presume it's an independent body. What's its role?
Well, our role, and we're celebrating 70 years young this year, Greg, of working to develop the connection between Ireland and Europe. So we're a not-for-profit voluntary membership organisation that works in the areas of engagement, education, communications. And we're really about encouraging people to get involved and have their say on Ireland's relationship with the EU, and also to act as a conduit of putting forward and bringing that Irish perspective at all levels in Europe.
Yeah, indeed. And obviously we've seen in the referenda last Friday a turnout of less than 50%, people having the right to vote and not using it. I'm sure you're encouraging as many people as that do have the vote to use it as possible.
Absolutely, Greg. I mean, I think we saw was a turnouts of about 44% at the referendums on Friday. And obviously, as you said, over, you know, there's 450 million citizens in the EU will be going to the polls from the 6th to the 9th of June. And in Ireland, it's going to be Friday, the 7th of June. And we really want people, and that's what we're encouraging about. That's what our Can Vote, Will Vote campaign is, for people to check the register, make sure they're on it, and to go out and have their say, because who we elect is really important, and who represents us in Brussels and Strasbourg is really, really important for us as a country. And that's why we're encouraging people to get out and to have their say. And in fairness, Midlands Northwest is a really large constituency, lots of counties there, and you'll have five MEPs. So we really want people to go out to check our website, have a look at who's running. Obviously, with the health warning that as more candidates declare, we'll continue to update our website. So we'd really encourage people who are standing for election to get in touch with us. We want to make sure we've everybody on the website so that people can see who's running and can, you know, inform themselves and get an idea of who's going to be on their ballot papers on the 7th of June.
How do you think we're doing in terms of, you know, the public getting a sense of, you know, Europe's role in their life and, you know, what role an MEP might play in relation to that? We, you know, regularly speak to MEPs on this in this radio station, but I've been told we're a bit of an outlier in that regard. You know what I mean? Is there a general sense, I wonder, across the population as to what role the EU plays in their lives and what role the MEPs have in that?
Yeah, look, I think you've touched on a really good point there. The work that our MEPs do is hugely important, and we will be voting on 14 MEPs, you know, and the European Parliament is the democratically elected institution, looking at everything from budgets, Europe's role in the world when we're seeing what's going on in Ukraine, common agricultural policy, the role of AI, misinformation, disinformation. So a huge amount of debate and discussion takes place in the European Parliament that directly affects all of our lives. And in terms of, you know, Irish engagement and support for the EU, that really interesting to see that, Greg, because every year since 2013, we in European Movement Ireland have commissioned an independent poll. So we've got in touch with an independent polling company to carry out a survey on people's views across Ireland. And also this year, or last year, sorry, we included Northern Ireland for the first time, and we're going to be doing the fieldwork again for our 2024 poll. And we're seeing really high levels of support, with over 88% of people saying they want Ireland to remain an active member of the EU. We got to engage and have our say. But interestingly, that the figure of that dropped to 58% feeling that the EU was going in the right direction. So that's really telling us that there's a lot more work to be done. And in fairness to our MEPs, they have a crucial role to play in that. And I'd like to pay tribute to you and Highland Radio, because I think it's really important that our MEPs' voices are heard across the radio. So
yeah, but that being said, it can be difficult, because what you have is... it's politics, right? And I might try, I'll try and separate as much as I can. But what you have is unpopular decisions being made in Europe, a convoluted sort of a voting system. And then you will have, you know, maybe ministers responsible for certain departments where those rules have to be applied here, sort of distancing themselves or criticising the decisions made at Europe. So often then it feels like it's national governments against EU. We know that's not really the case, okay? But because politics is the way it is, that's how it's presented. So in a way, sometimes I think it can actually be the elected politicians that that damage the reputation of the EU and its processes.
Yeah, we've a great saying that we tend to use a lot here, Greg. We say we tend to nationalize success and Europeanize failure. And that's an easy one sometimes for politicians to blame Brussels. But, you know, you're absolutely right. And let's not forget, at every council ministerial meeting, either, you know, Taoiseach or Taoiseach, all the various ministers are there. So if it's something on justice, our Minister for Justice will be there. If it's something on education, Minister for Education will take part in those meetings. And, you know, and that's important. I suppose the EU, it is hard, as you well know, and as we all know, God knows it's hard enough to get compromise, you know, within groups or families or friends. So trying to get a consensus amongst 27 different countries and member states, and often with different priorities, that consensus and that compromise, you know, can be hard fought, but I think it is important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really something kind of in these upcoming European elections, we're really seeing such a focus on the impact that the EU has in our everyday lives in terms of everything from And, you know, I don't have to tell your listeners, of course, and, you know, in Donegal, data roaming, free travel, the ability to study, live, work abroad. And, you know, we can probably take those for granted a little bit. But I think it's we should never lose sight of the benefits. And equally,
of course, and conversely, and I have to say this because but obviously then you have fishing, you have farming, yeah. You know, you have the nature restoration, which effectively could set out to re-wet most of the county that I'm sitting in. But I get you, you know, I do understand exactly where you're coming from. And it's up to the MEPs to articulate their points of view. How they can influence or shape things moving forward. It's not either your or my role, Noel, in that regard. But I suppose it is good as much as possible if people get out and exercise their vote and educate themselves as to what the role of the EU is. I mean, one of the biggest developments in humanity, I think, at the moment is artificial intelligence. And at the moment, there's decisions being made in relation to AI, not just how it will affect our lives, but how it will affect our businesses and what have you. I would love to see MEPs sort of try and articulate some of that to us. I don't think it's, you know, my job. You can't just take the cash and sit in Brussels. I'm not saying that's what they do, right? But, you know, where are the, if we have five, we've four at the moment, where are the MEPs sort of articulating the importance of this discussion about AI in Europe and its implications for us and business as well? But anyway, that's, as I say, not your job or ours, Noel. It's up to us to talk to them at the doorsteps. And elect the people we think might be able to articulate that best to us going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the whole issue of AI and that impact on our lives is certainly something that's occupying the agenda of the Commission, the various ministers, and of course the European Parliament. And obviously there's, you know, a working group looking at that. We have the AI Act, but you're absolutely 100% right. And listen, as the daughter of a farmer from Cork, I'm well aware of the challenges facing, you know, agriculture, and equally how do we balance that with our responsibilities in terms of climate change, you know, the economic migration that we're seeing, the climate change migration from Africa and the Middle East. These are huge challenges, I think, that is facing all of us. And as a small island on the very periphery of Europe, sometimes we can seem a little bit geographically removed to what's happening. You know, when I talk to my colleagues in Greece or in Italy, you know, the some of the challenges they're facing are very different to what we have here in Ireland. But I think that's the I suppose we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that's the importance of the EU, and by pooling our sovereignty and by working together, I think that's something that we really hope for in the European Parliament election. So we really want to encourage people in Donegal, everyone in Midlands, Northwest, to go out, to have your say. Check out our website, europeanmovement.ie. We're trying to get all the information is there, and we'd encourage people to, as you said, exactly that, Greg, have those conversations with all the MEP candidates and pose the questions and see where they stand on all these issues. Mm-hmm. That's really how we're going to inform ourselves, isn't it?
All right. Listen, thank you so much for your time. Noel O'Connell, CEO of the European Movement Ireland. I mean, also too, you know, all the decisions, and Noel's left us now, but most of the big decisions that affect us are made at EU. How do we feed into those, us as a public? You know, how do we sort of influence it or say enough is enough? You know, this does seem to be structures where if you wanted to really make change in this country, you know, you could probably find a pathway, and some would say change perhaps is coming. But on a European level, where all the big decisions really, it seems, are actually made, how do we feed into that, or how do we, if at all, influence that? Right, two things I want to mention before I go to a break. We are going to do a ring around tomorrow in relation to St. Patrick's Day parades or celebrations that are happening. So if you want yours included, 086 60 25,000, we want to give everyone a fair shout. So wherever, no matter where you are across the region, if you're planning anything for the St. Patrick's Day weekend, get in touch with us and we'll give it a plug on the radio tomorrow. FOC, of course, here on this program, because there are big ones which rightly so get an awful lot of attention. But I want to make sure that your efforts out in your community, organizing whatever you're organizing, also gets a bit of a plug as well. So if you want to be involved in that, ideally coming on the radio to plug it, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps or texts, or give Caroline a call on 07491 25,000. Right, Breed joins me on the program now. Hi, Breed.
Hello, Greg.
Right, so Lisa Chambers campaigned for a yes in the referendums a couple of weeks ago. said after the fact that she actually had wobbled a bit and was favouring no-no and voted no-no. Do you respect her for being honest and coming out, or do you believe that it weakens her position as a politician?
I just feel that it's hypocritical. I feel if she had felt uncomfortable, as she said, about the word woman being removed from the Constitution, why did she stand on Grafton Street giving out yes? But, you know, if she had come out a couple of days beforehand and said, look, I'm not comfortable with this, I'm sorry, but I'm going to vote no, that would have been okay. But to come out afterwards and to say that it was the leaked document from the Attorney General that made up her mind, well, that was very convenient because it wasn't leaked until late on Thursday night. That was very convenient. And I just wonder, if we had all voted yes in the referendum, would she have come out and said, no, I voted no? I don't think so.
So do you feel to some extent that maybe, Breed, it's kind of like trying to ride two horses? You know, in other words,
She's standing in the European elections for this area, for the Midlands Northwest. She has looked at the figures, and every single constituency in that area voted an overwhelming no. So she's thinking to herself, the people are idiots. I'll just say I voted no, and they'll say, oh God, isn't she great? Maybe we'll give her a vote in the European elections. And another person who voted, who canvassed for yes and voted no, was the chairperson of the media committee, who had all the RTE people in interrogating them, looking for truth and honesty. And she now has said that she campaigned for yes, but voted yes, no. So how can we respect politicians when this is the kind of thing they're doing?
Well, let me ask though. Yesterday, Padraig McLaughlin from Sinn Féin was on. They advocated a yes, and he said, look, they got it wrong as well. It doesn't matter which way you vote, I'm just asking you as someone who follows politics, obviously, would you say the same of them, that if you thought it was no, as the date approached, you should have said, actually, we've changed our mind and gone no, or yes, or whatever it might have been?
Well, you know, I wonder, what worries me is that all the political parties, bar into and some independents, advocated a yes vote. I would have thought the job of the opposition is to interrogate the government and hold them to account, regardless of what view, they had themselves. Like you on the radio, you're a devil's advocate. I feel the job of the opposition is to tease out matters so people are clear about what they're voting on, you know. And then they could have come out and said, you know. Now, they did say they voted yes, reluctantly. The Constitution has to be clear on everything. It has to be. It can't be open to 10 different types of interpretation. Do you know what I mean? So the wording wasn't clear. And the people are not stupid. Like, they're trying to tell us now, oh, it wasn't progressive enough, or it wasn't. We knew exactly what we were voting for, especially on International Women's Day and Mother's Day. You know, I mean, I wonder, are they all in this little bubble up in Leinster House? Do you know, a lot of the leaders of the political parties, Mary Lou included, all and people before Prophet, Richard Boyd, Barrett and Palmer, they all went to private schools. The National Women's Council, where are they from? South Dublin. There's no travellers, there's no single parent, there's no low-income women on those councils.
But Breed,
and they're all in that little bubble.
And also too, one thing that really jumps out at me in this whole thing is that we people have their views on the Citizens' Assembly, but it is supposed to be a broad representation of all the groups that you talked of there and more. And they came up with a wording. Now, I'm not saying it was perfect either, but what's the function of the Citizens' Assembly if then a government in situ changes that wording? Because you have the Citizens' Assembly because it's supposed to be reflective of Irish society. That's what perplexes me as well. Who decided, and why did opposition parties think it's all right not to go with what the Citizens' Assembly had themselves recommended?
But, you know, what is the purpose of the Citizens' Assembly? Like, have we not directly elected our politicians to tease out these problems for us? Why do they abdicate responsibility to a Citizens' Assembly, no matter how broad, would say, you know, they're chosen, how broadly they're chosen?
Yeah.
Why do we need a Citizens' Assembly? We have a directly elected parliament, a democratically elected parliament. But they're undermining democracy by, you know, throwing out the responsibility to NGOs, like non-government, and to citizens' assemblies. I don't agree with citizens' assemblies at all.
Okay.
We elect our politicians. They're answerable to us. The citizens' assemblies aren't answerable to us, the people who elected the politicians.
Mm-hmm. Breed, a lot of people in agreements with you. Thank you very much for your time today, and I really
thank
do appreciate
you very
it.
Much,
all right,
Greg.
Thank you very much. Anna, you're very pleased with the no-no. Tell me why. Are you there, Anna? Anna? No, Anna's just not there at the moment. I'll come back to that issue, obviously. Women's prerogative to change her mind. I respect Lisa more for going with her choice. She's more in touch with people than her party, though Breed questioning her motives there. Lisa Chambers definitely should stand down and should have told the electorate and advocated for a no vote before Friday if she changed her mind. Now, I'm not saying conveniently, Lisa Chambers obviously heard the Attorney General's read the literature from the Attorney General, which the government didn't release, but it conveniently was released after the moratorium kicked in, so we couldn't report it. Now the Ditch did online, and fair play to them, but we couldn't legally. So, you know, Anna, sorry, you're back there now. Good morning to you.
Morning. No, just that Dalit was you were talking about earlier on, who wanted
Chambers,
to bring Mother out of the Constitution. Aye. And I said, had she no mother, was she born under a mushroom tree?
You know. You're looking forward to politicians landing at your door. Tell me why.
Oh, indeed I am. Oh, I just can't wait.
What would you be saying to them? What would you be saying to them, Anna?
Well, I'll not say it over there what I'll be saying to some of them, but...
Well, what are the big issues
because,
for you?
God.
Like, what do you want to see politicians acting on now at the moment? Do you know what I mean? Or are you going to
well,
say
I have that
all
many problems now. I have three granddaughters, and the three of them done 3 years in the college and had to pay $3,000 each for fees. Mm. And then one of the wee girls was doing nursing, and she had to work 3 years without a single penny of wages. She's going into her fourth year now, and she might get a few shillings, not get much, but I think it's a disgrace that Wayne's has to pay that, and then they don't get a penny of wages for work then for 3 years without pay. You know, I think it's a bloody disgrace. The politicians are doing nothing for them kind of students. I mean, I'll get through my life, I hope. But no, the students, I feel so sorry for them. Like.
And I presume you would fear that they will look at other opportunities outside of Ireland.
Oh, indeed. There's a whole the list wrote out, and as soon as they come to the door, God help them, because I have it wrote out for them.
Really? Okay. Fascinating, Anna. Listen, get back in touch with us after they start calling. I want to hear the reaction.
All right, Greg.
Take
Thanks
care,
for
Anna.
The time.
Best wishes to everybody. Thank you very much indeed. Breed is totally right, but if our politicians vote yes against their beliefs, they are no good to us. True words from Breed. And although that caller Breed is a smart lady, isn't she indeed? Greg, how do we really know what Lisa Chambers voted? She's talking out of two sides of her mouth, a requirement as a politician. Another delighted to hear Breed on. She's 100% right. Had the vote have gone the other way, we would have heard from them. Would we have heard from them? Lisa Chambers definitely should stand down. She should have told the electorate and advocated for a no vote before Friday if she changed her mind. Another, there's no excuse for going to Washington this St. Patrick's Day, not in our name. Sorry, that's just about these trips. Back to Lisa Chambers. Hi, Greg. Miss Chambers promoted a yes with her party, found out the possible consequences and voted no. Brilliant. However, if she publicly promoted no, then she's okay. But if she kept her true feelings hidden and still went with the flow, then how can we trust anything they do afterwards? Another, she should have gone public before the election and informed the public that she'd changed her mind. No credibility now. Very interesting comments. And I'm not going to lie to you, not exactly what I was expecting. But that's why I love this show, because I can see my own... I'm not saying what my views were or are, but... it's really actually quite interesting to hear people's points of view. Now, more of your comments here. Surely, in Lisa Chambers' position of responsibility and her influence as a politician, it is her responsibility to do her due diligence before publicly declaring her position. Any of the politicians who advocated publicly for yes, yes, and now say they privately voted no, no, should take a long look at themselves and why they were spineless. Farad Carr and Fine Gael have been lining us up to sell our neutrality to NATO, and bankrupt us by buying America's jets we don't need. I'm not sure about that, but thanks for the comment. Hi, Greg. Had Micheál Martin gagged Lisa Chambers, or has she decided to stop digging a bigger hole for herself? She promoted and canvassed yes, yes, but that side lost big time. Shortly, she will be looking for our votes for MEP position. Was added only because Maria Walsh said the lineup in the constituency was male, pale and stale. It's obvious she's not popular in her party, Fianna Fáil, so she's appealing to us, the voters, when she saw the result of the referendum. Yesterday's honest interview with TD Padraig McLaughlin was a breath of fresh air. Sinn Féin have backed a yes vote in every government referendum for the past 20 years. Greg, you can't be part of a team and support the other team, says a listener. Last one, just before we move on, Lisa Chambers guillotined the bill in the Senate. This should be picked up on your show. Well, let me dig into that a little further. Thank you very much for that. Keep them coming. We're going to return to that in a moment. But we're going to talk now to Brenda Donoher, who's network manager with Rural Enterprise SkillNet. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Here so I can hear you properly. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Thank you so much for calling in now. Yeah. Rural Enterprise SkillNet has a Women in Construction program for 2024. We've got a bit of notice here because it runs from April the 2nd, but not a ton of notice. So talk to me about the... Well, I think I can work it out. But talk to me why this program, why now?
Yeah, so I suppose it was roughly about 2 years ago we kind of recognised that there was skills shortages, and as the construction industry themselves have identified. And again, we looked at women that who would be very much interested in this sector, and for different challenges and barriers that were there, they just never really embraced that as a career option. So we are based in Ballyshannon, and we are funded through SkillNet Ireland, a support agency of the Government of Ireland. And we put in an application to offer this course, and we're delighted to have received funding through the Government of Ireland and the European Union to run this fully funded programme here in Letterkenny, as you said, starting on the 2nd of April.
Do you think some people see it, some women see construction as a male-dominated area, or but that doesn't mean they're not interested in getting involved in it, but they probably see a pathway to what they want to do more difficult?
Absolutely. It is predominantly been a male-dominated area, and there are some great stories coming out recently on females embracing that as a career choice. And that's where we saw this as an opportunity after speaking to companies who are looking to hire and looking to hire women, because at the end of the day, women bring a different skill set to any position. With the add-on of the construction essentials that they would get from this programme, we have worked with industry to ensure that the content would make them job ready at the end of this programme. So it's a 10-week programme, 6 weeks in class and 4 weeks work placement. All placements have already been secured. That is how anxious companies specifically in the Northwest region are to hire on the back end of this program. Mm. So
now, just one other thing too. Yeah. I mean, obviously there we need more workers in construction. I mean, that's a fact. There is a shortage, and it is having an impact on delivery as well. So, you know, be it male or female, you know, there's great opportunities in the construction sector. And with the way things are going, there will be for quite some time, and a lot of opportunities locally as well for those who, you know, want to maintain their lifestyle here in the Northwest.
That's right. And that's why we were fortunate enough to be able to work with our training partners here in Donegal specifically and roll this programme out in Letterkenny. And like I said, most of the stakeholders involved, the training providers and the companies who will take people on work placement, and I'm very confident at the end of this 10-week programme we'll offer them a position.
Yeah.
Because as you said, there's just skill shortages. We are crying out for workers. We have our ministers shouting out to people living abroad to move back home to work in the construction sector. So for me, when I was putting this programme together, it was about how can we engage with a part of the working group that maybe, as you said, see this as a barrier, and women in construction is going to be a new career path for a lot of people. Mm. And I think based on the content that they have, and what, funny enough, what some of the companies have told us, some of these participants at the end of this programme are going to be more qualified than some of the people already working
yeah.
on site.
Yeah,
so that's what's great. The programme has two elements. One is the construction essentials, where they will be trained on new entry programmes for excavator, site dumper, working at heights, location of underground services, the safe pass, all necessary to work in the construction sector. But also the opportunity is going to be there to qualify in health and safety. So there's going to be avenues that they can explore. It's not necessarily to go into a construction site. There's going to be options at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And on there's two parts of this, because we've taken a very holistic approach to this programme. We also are going to be offering a work skills development, where the participants will work with our trainer and coach for one-to-one career development, including CV prep, interview prep. And it's really going to be a relaxed, fun, confidential journey that these participants are going to yeah. come on.
I've spoken to a number of women in construction, for the most part outside of Ireland, and they find it a fantastic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they themselves, I remember asking them, you know, were they not nervous, but did they think they were entering an environment that might be more difficult for them? And the general consensus was has been no. This is a great opportunity because, as you mentioned, it's a 10-week course that you're asking people to dedicate. They have to attend for the 10 weeks.
Full time.
There's yep. full certification. There's no experience required, so that opens the options up for a lot of people. A work placement is secured. You can't give any guarantees about jobs at the end of this, but I think you can confidently say through your conversations that if the candidate is of a certain ability level, the jobs will be there. It is locally based and it is fully funded. So what kind of commitment, because we're already getting messages from people that are employed in different work, okay, 9 to 5s or whatever yeah. it might be, and they can't attend if it's daytime.
Yeah.
So what way is the course run over the 10 weeks?
So the course is open to women who are currently unemployed and looking for a new career option.
Yeah.
We don't want to displace another job that's or another company that's going to have to go looking out. So it is for people who are women who are currently unemployed, and there's no, like as you said, no experience required, and we have secured everything for them. So what we're looking for is a commitment to these 10 weeks and a commitment to accept a job at the end of the 10 weeks. And I think that's important to say, because this is a big investment. So we want to ensure that at the end of this programme that we have genuine people who will be accountable for themselves in proving themselves in the placement, in the course, that they are going to be a reliable employee and worth the investment from the company on the back end of this programme. So it is really about just embracing this opportunity, you know. They're not readily available. And like I said, they're going to be having qualifications that a lot of people currently in employment mm-hmm. would give anything to yeah. have this opportunity for.
In terms of the criteria that you're looking at, so say, for instance, I don't know how many positions you have available, but if it's oversubscribed, how do you determine then who gets the position?
So we are going to be holding an interview process, and there is an application form, because, again, we want to ensure that we are giving this opportunity to people who are committed to participating full time, but also committed to get back into the workplace. So the criteria is really, you know, unemployed, female, committing to the full 10 weeks and a potential job hire at the end of it. They will be fully supported throughout the whole process, even beyond the 10 weeks. Like, you know, my door will always be open to them to have any kind of conversation, discuss any challenge that they've met either in work placement or beyond. And like I said, the training providers that we have involved in this, we're working locally with Safe Tech Training here in Letterkenny, and we are working with one of our top trainers and coaches, Brenda Crowley in CMD Group. You know, so it's like I said, very much a holistic approach, very supported throughout the whole journey. No fear about what's going to happen is needed, because you're going to be fully supported.
All right, ruralenterpriseskillnet.ie is where people can go. There's a telephone number here as well. There's no point in me reading it out.
No.
People know our number, and we'll pass on that telephone number and an email address if you're interested in. It's kind of a quick turnaround, isn't it? Because it starts April 2nd, so we're looking at 2.5 weeks.
It is. We started promoting the programme, and I suppose by the time we got notified on the funding and one thing or another, it takes time, and then we had to get everything in place. So look, it's a quick turnaround, but it's a great opportunity, and the process for this, especially around one side of the training, which is the new entry for heavy machine operation, it is actually a 6-month process before you get your final certification. Yeah. So I suppose this is where we were thinking, let's get the ball rolling. And the reason that I didn't want to delay rolling out the program is, again, because of the amount of companies looking to hire.
Also, you push it into winter and then you push it into another year. And you know what? Sometimes you have to piddle it off
you
the pot.
You do,
right.
So.
Okay. Now, so listen, it's a full-time program, Monday to Fridays. Times will vary between training and placement. The location of the training, plus the placement, of course, Safe Tech Training Unit in Neil T. Blaney Road, or on Neil T. Blaney Road in Letterkenny. You need to be available from the 2nd of April. 10-week course, full-time. You're expected to attend in full, of course, but you come out of it with full certification, a work placement secured, and really strong prospects of a full-time job. Are you divulging how many spaces are available?
So at this time we have 12 places available.
Okay,
that's
brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a real opportunity there.
And we do plan on running this program. We have secured funding over 3 years. So this is kind of like a pilot for this year to see what interest is there. We know we have interest from the business community. We know we have interest. So now it's just about getting bums in seats, like, you know. So come on, if you're female, this is a fantastic opportunity. It's fully funded. You know, we've worked closely with a lot of close partners, and it's a really good opportunity.
Okay. And it's 18 plus.
Yeah. Okay. Again, based on the fact of having a full driver's license, to get to and from work, and possibly driving on site and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can go to ruralenterpriseskillnet.ie or contact us. We'll pass on the mobile numbers or the upper age limit, Caroline. Why would you make me ask that? I mean, I've skirted over that 18 plus. Is there an upper age limit?
No.
Okay, thanks, Caroline. She can whisper in my ear.
She can whisper.
See. Okay, you're not leaving me, Caroline, are you? No.
Be careful now.
I can see her.
She was talking to me earlier on.
Oh, don't worry. I'm very, very careful, Brenda. I know which side my bread is buttered on. Brenda Donahue, I beg your pardon, Network Manager with Rural Enterprise Skillnet. Thank you for joining us. And if you are a lady out there working in construction and maybe you want to give a sister a bit of encouragement, so to speak, get in touch with us and tell us what your experience is like if you are a woman working in construction.